Genesis chapter 50, it's from the story of Joseph, and verses 15 to 21, and can be found on page 57, if you want to open it in your pew Bibles, and it is on the screen. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And then he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, as we come together to break open your word, may your spirit reside on each one of us. Lord God, be in the words that I speak, in how it is heard, and challenge us with obedience, we pray. Amen. So today we're continuing our series looking at forgiveness. Last week, as I said earlier, Sue started us off looking at the fact that we are forgiven. We are forgiven. And today in our Let It Go sermon series, we are thinking about how we as forgiven people forgive others. It's from Frozen. For those of you who haven't seen it, it's Frozen. Thank you. Okay. What's she on about? Outside of our salvation, I think that understanding that we are forgiven and living out that forgiveness in our relationships and how we live our lives is probably one of the next most important steps in our Christian walk. I have met and sat with too many people that live with the consequences of unforgiveness. So may I be bold as I start and say what I want to say right at the beginning. So if you doze off in this tropical weather that we've been having here in West Kirby, but you remember the one thing I want you to remember, well, one of the many things, but the most important thing I want you to remember is this. Unforgiveness is a cancer in your spiritual life. I will be bold to say that. If you are living with unforgiveness in your heart, you need to sort it out. You can fall asleep now. No. If you are grudge-holding, if you are holding somebody at arm's length because you are refusing to forgive them, you do need to sort it out. There is no optional extra in this, in our walk with God. If you forgive someone and you release them, it releases you. It sets you free. In fact, psychologists at the University of Michigan, there have been studies behind this, discovered that forgiveness is the single behavior most strongly linked to happiness. Interesting. The single behavior most strongly linked to being a happy person. Not money in the bank, not possessions, it's forgiving people and releasing them. Extraordinary. Who knew?
Let me tell you a story. A teacher gave his pupils a task to illustrate the power of forgiveness. He asked each of his class to bring in a clear carrier bag and a sack of potatoes. For every person these students refused to forgive, in the course of their daily life, they were told to choose a potato, to write on the name and the date of that person they refused to forgive, and to put it in their carrier bag. Now, as you can imagine, some of the bags became quite heavy. They were told to carry the bag with them everywhere they went for a week, putting it by their bed at night, on the car seat next to them on the way to school, in school, when they were hanging out with their friends. And the hassle of lugging this around with them made it clear what an emotional weight they were carrying, this spiritual weight they were carrying by their inability to forgive. And naturally, over the course of time, these potatoes didn't stay the same as they were being dragged down the street. Some of them turned quite nasty to slime. He said, that's what your life is like when you don't forgive. A metaphor, as it were, for holding on to pain and negativity. So next time you file away a hurt, consider your inside to be a slimy potato. I don't know, that might be the thing you remember. I don't know. Today we're going to briefly look at those two separate Bible readings that we've heard. And the first that Daphne read to us so beautifully from Matthew's Gospel, I think may be one of the scariest verses in the Bible. It said this, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Ooh. We say the Lord's Prayer all the time. It rolls off our tongue. Well, not my tongue, not in the new version, but normally it rolls off our tongue. And we're praying a very dangerous prayer. Have you ever stopped to think what you're saying? You're asking God to forgive you in the same way that you forgive people who have done wrong to you. No more, no less. When you get to this part in the Lord's Prayer, you're in effect saying, Lord, if there is someone I haven't forgiven, then don't forgive me. Oh, ouch. It's hard, isn't it? Forgiveness is tough. There's no doubt about it. All of us have been hurt in some ways, and maybe some of you in ways that I cannot comprehend. We all scar. I scar very easily. Some of you have had the pleasure of seeing my recent gallbladder scar. In fact, I showed some of you over coffee, which probably was inappropriate. It's a cracker. We all scar. I just need to give myself a scratch and I have a scar for ages. We all scar. And that's true in the physical sense as well as the emotional sense. All of us carry scars with us, some of them big, some of them small. In my first year at university, I was in a push bike accident in Hull. I came off my bike, I landed in a mangled heap. There's a reason I don't cycle anymore. And I had an operation to put metal screws and plates in my arm. That was nearly 25 years ago. I do feel old saying that, when I was at university. 25 years ago, and I still have a scar. It's a very long scar, in fact. It's faded, but it's still there. When I put my watch on in the morning, I notice it. It reminds me of the summer where I couldn't do anything because I had a broken arm and had to have surgery on it. it's healed, but the scar is still there. I still notice the scar. The scar doesn't disappear even though I am healed. It doesn't erase the fact that the scar is there. When we're hurt by someone, whether intentionally or accidentally, it cuts. And if we allow forgiveness to heal it, then we might have a scar. And that scar might cause us to remember the hurt, but for it not to hurt anymore. But perhaps you've got a scar, perhaps I've got a scar that we just don't let heal because we pick at it. Because it's being picked at with unforgiveness. I wonder if the spirit of unforgiveness keeps some of our scars from healing. If you haven't forgiven someone, then you cannot say that you are healed. No healing in that part of your life. No healing for the relationship between you and the person who has hurt you. It hampers our relationship with God. I was reading this week about the guptal principle of spiritual growth. I've never heard of it before. The guptal principle of spiritual growth. It says that everybody grows in their spiritual life to their own point of disobedience. So you can grow until you say, not going to do that any longer, Lord, until you're disobedient. And I would suggest that perhaps the same in our spiritual walk where forgiveness is concerned. Forgiveness really matters. That's what the Lord's Prayer says. And that's what the life story of Joseph says. When Joseph's brothers, we hear in Genesis 50, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? Now, Joseph's brothers had been living in Egypt at this point for 17 years. 17 years living under Joseph's protection. 17 years living down the street, as it were. Joseph could have paid them back at any moment, but he didn't. 17 years earlier in Genesis 45, Joseph forgives his brothers. He says this, "Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there have been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." Joseph had forgiven them, but they'd never forgiven themselves. Now, what interests me in this passage is the two sort of guilt that we had. The guilt that is forgiven. Joseph had forgiven his brothers. His brothers had problems figuring out why on earth would Joseph forgive them. They'd been pretty rotten to him. Remember the story? They'd ripped off his multicoloured coat. I'm not going to sing. I love that. Joseph's coat. No, okay. They'd ripped off his multicoloured coat, although it doesn't say multicoloured in scripture, his coat. They'd flung him down a pit. They'd robbed him. They'd beat him. They'd left him for dead. They'd planned to kill him. And then they sold him off for slavery. You know, you can choose your friends. Great family. But Joseph forgave them because he loved them still. And so that deals with the guilt that has been forgiven. But really, the guilt that hadn't been forgiven was how Joseph's brothers saw themselves in regard to Joseph. They couldn't figure out why on earth Joseph would forgive them. And what they'd done 37 years previously, that's a lifetime ago. I love the Joseph story because it is so human. There's this dysfunctional family who, if there was Jeremy Kyle in that day, would be on Jeremy Kyle. They're hanging on to unforgiveness, to what ifs and if onlys. And they can't let go of the past because they haven't forgiven themselves. But Joseph had forgiven them 17 years ago, but they didn't believe it because they couldn't forgive themselves. Unforgiveness is a cancer that eats away at our well-being. We need to forgive others, and we need to forgive ourselves. It's really important. So let me tell you a true story. Her name was 66730. Well, that was the name she went by. Her father died in a German concentration camp, as did her sister. Her freedom, her dignity, and her humanity were stripped from her by those who imprisoned her, and yet she survived. They robbed her of everything she ever possessed, but they couldn't rob her of the one who possessed her, Jesus. She saw every day in Ravensbrück as a chance to minister to someone more needy than herself. And then one day she was released. As suddenly as she had become a prisoner, she was freed, and her aim was to minister to others. When the war was over, she began traveling and speaking and sharing her vision about her Saviour who sets people about her doom. She said this. Remember, this is after years in a concentration camp. It was at a church service in Munich that I saw him, our former SS man. The one who had stood guard at the shower room door in the processing centre at Ravensbrück. He was the first of our actual jailers that I had seen since that time. And suddenly it was all there, the room of mocking men, the heaps of clothing, Betsy, my sister's pain-blanched face. He came up to me as the church was emptying, beaming and bowing. "How grateful I am for your message, Fräulein," he said. "To think, as you say, he has washed my sins away." His hand was thrust out to shake mine. And I, who had preached so often to people of the need to forgive, kept my hand at my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? "Lord Jesus," I prayed, "forgive me and help me to forgive him." I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand, but I couldn't. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so I breathed silent prayer. "Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness." And as I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it's not on our goodness anymore, but on our goodness that this world's healing hinges, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives, along with the command, the love itself. Wow. Forgiveness is hard. None of this is easy. It's part and parcel, though, of our Christian life. The next time you pray the words of the Lord's Prayer, you are asking God to forgive you in the same way that you forgive others. Can you pray that honestly? That is a dangerous prayer to pray. But it's a prayer that each one of us need to pray. I wonder if there is someone that you need to forgive today, to forgive and release them so that you can be free. Let's have the next screen. Unforgiveness shackles you to the person who hurt you. It binds you to pain. Forgiveness sets you free from that bondage. I think that's a spiritual truth that we all need to be aware of how unforgiveness works in our life. The evil one really uses that to harm us. So before we move on and end our time together, I'd like to be bold enough to suggest that if in our time today you have been thinking of someone, and I dare suggest looking at some of your faces that maybe you have been, do not leave this place until you do something about it. The ministry team will be over where they are always there in the ministry team space to talk and pray with you. We need to let it go. To not let hurt hold back our healing. God wants each one of us whole and healed and free from all that sets us back. And so perhaps today there is some prayer that needs to be done. Maybe some business that you and God, me and God, need to be doing in order that we can begin again. Let's use this opportunity, maybe quietly in your seats, or use the ministry team. That's what they're there for. We are in the business of forgiveness because we are a forgiven people. Let us pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your forgiveness to us. That when we were nothing, when we were nobodies, when we were mired with the sin and rubbish in our lives, whilst we were still sinners, you reached out to us and you called us to you. Thank you that you have forgiven us. But Lord God, it's a challenge to forgive others. Lord God, in a few moments of quiet, I pray that you would bring to our hearts and our minds somebody who we need to forgive today. Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us. If there is some relationship, some person who we need to forgive, and that is holding us back, whether we know it or not. Lord God, we believe that you are a God who quietly and gently and sometimes dramatically transforms us. You are a God of new beginnings. Give us courage. And sometimes it will need courage to forgive. And oh God, help us forgive ourselves. Lord Lord God, thank you for your kindness to us, for your grace, and for your mercy. Be with your people. In Jesus' name. Amen.